الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وناخت برحلك، عليكم مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. قال سيدنا ومولانا صاحب الأمر والزمان ومحور عالم الإمكان، صاحب العزاء والمصيبة، الحجة ابن الحسن العسكري، السلام على المحتسب الصابر، السلام على المظلوم بلا ناصر، السلام على ساكن التربة الزاكية، السلام على صاحب القبة السامية، السلام على من هتكت حرمته، السلام على من أريق بالظلم دمه، السلام على المغسل بدم الجراح، السلام على المجرع بكاسات الرماح، السلام على المضام المستباح، السلام على المنحور في الورى، السلام على من دفنه أهل القرى، السلام على المقطوع الوتين، السلام على المحامي بلا معين، السلام على الشيب الخضيب، السلام على الشيب الخضيب، السلام على الخد التريب، السلام على البدن السليم، السلام على الثور المقروع بالقضيب. Peace be upon the one whose rights and dignity were violated. Peace be upon the one whose blood was shed unjustly. Peace be upon the one who was bathed in the blood of his wounds. Peace be upon the one who tasted the spears raining down over his body. Peace be upon the one against whom people came together and made lawful the shedding of his blood. Peace be upon the one slaughtered in public. Peace be upon the one who was buried by the strangers from the villages. Peace be upon the one whose order was severed. Peace be upon the defender who had no helper. Peace be upon the gray hair that was dyed with blood. Peace be upon the cheek that struck the dust. Peace be upon the butchered body. Peace be upon the front teeth that were beaten with a rod. Peace be upon the head raised upon a lance. This is the day Rasulullah was killed through his son Hussein. This is the day Imam Ali was killed through Hussein. This is the day Fatima al-Zahra was killed through her beloved son Hussein. This is the day when the skies rained blood. This is the day when tragedy struck. This is the day of Ashura. This is the day of Karb and Bala, the day of tragedy, the day of lamentation, the day when the angels grieved for Imam Hussein, the day when those in heaven lamented for Imam Hussein, the day when his blood rested in eternity. Commanding a force of 30,000 strong, Umar ibn Sa'd marched to combat al-Husayn. Chiefs of the Kufa quarters at that time were Abdullah ibn Zuhayr ibn Salim al-Azdi, who headed the Medinites, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Sabrah al-Hanafi, who headed Manhaj, and Asad, Qais ibn al-Ash'ath, who headed Rabi'ah and Kindah. They all came circling around the tent, seeing how the fire was raging in the ditch. Shimr shouted as loud as he could, "O Hussein, have you resorted to the fire soon enough before the day of judgment?" Hussein asked, "Who is the inquirer?" It seemed as if he is Shimr ibn Dhil Jawshan. The answer came in the affirmative, whereupon the Imam said to him, "You son of the goat herder, you are more worthy of the fire than I." Muslim ibn Awsajah was about to shoot him with an arrow, but Hussein prohibited him, saying, "I hate to start fighting them." Having cast a look at the troops that resembled a torrent, al-Hussein raised his hands to supplicate and said, "Ya Allah, ilahi anta thiqati fi kulli karb. You are my trust in every adversity, my hope in every hardship. You are to me my trust and treasure." Imam Hussein then called for his camel. Having mounted it, he called out loudly enough to be heard. He said, "O people, listen to my speech and do not rush till I admonish you with that which I owe you, and so that I tell you why I came here. So if you accept my excuse and believe my statement and fare with me with equity, you will be much happier, and you will see no reason to expose me to this. If you do not accept my reason and do not fare with me with equity, then gather your affair and your accomplices, and do not feel sorry for what you do, but effect your judgment in my regard, and do not grant me any respite. Surely my Lord is Allah, who revealed the book, and He looks after the righteous." When the women heard his statement, they cried and wailed. Their voices grew loud, whereupon he sent them his brother Abbas and his son Ali ibn al-Akbar to ask them to remain quiet and not to cry. Once the ladies were quiet, Imam Hussein praised Allah again and glorified Him, blessed Muhammad and all angels and prophets, then delivered another speech, "O servants of Allah, fear Allah and be on your guard with regard to this life, which had it remained for anyone at all, the prophets would have been the most worthy of it and most pleased with fate." Shimr then said, "He worships Allah by a letter. Had he known what he is saying, Habib ibn Mubahir said to him, "By Allah, I see you worshipping Allah on 70 letters, and I testify that you are truthful when you say that you do not know what he is saying. Allah has surely sealed your heart." Imam Hussein then said, "If you doubt what I have said, do you doubt that I am the son of your prophet's daughter? By Allah, there is no son of a prophet from the east of the earth and the west besides myself, be it among you or among others. Woe unto you! Are you seeking revenge on me for killing any one of you? Or is it on account of your wealth which I have devoured? Or are you seeking qisas?" None of them spoke a word to the Imam, so he called out, "O Shabath ibn Rab'i, O Hajr ibn Abjar, O Qais ibn al-Ash'ath, O Zayd ibn Harith, did you not write me saying, 'Come, for the fruits are ripe, the pastures are green, and you will come to troops ready for your command'?" They said, "We did not do so." The Imam said, "Subhanallah, yes, by Allah, you did exactly so." He then said, "O people, if you hate me, let me go away from your side to a safe place on earth." Qais ibn al-Ash'ath said to him, "Are you not going first to accept the authority of your cousins? They surely will not deal with you except most amicably, and they will not harm you in the least." Imam Hussein said to him, "Are you the brother? Are you the brother of your brother? Do you want Bani Hashim to demand that you pay for the blood of someone else besides that of Muslim ibn Aqil? No, by Allah, I shall never give them as the subservient ones give, nor shall I flee from them as slaves flee. O servants of Allah, I have sought refuge with Allah, your Lord and mine, against your stoning me, and I seek refuge with my Lord and yours against any arrogant person who does not believe in the day of reckoning." The Imam alighted from his camel, asking Uqbah ibn Sam'an to tie it for him. Imam Hussein said to him, you have now acquired a great deal of good and a great reward." Umar ibn Sa'd advanced towards Imam Hussein's troops and shot an arrow, saying, "Testify for me with the governor that I have shot the first arrow." Others followed suit. Hardly any of al-Hussein's men escaped being shot by an arrow. The Imam said to his companion, "Stand. May Allah be merciful unto you and meet the imminent death. For these arrows are the messengers of these people to you. Hadihi rusulul qawm ilaykum." He and his companions charged together and fought for a while. By the time the cloud of dust dissipated, 50 men had been killed from Imam Hussein's camp. It oppressed even as the desert crushed its valiant ones. Having seen, there was a woman who had seen her husband so valiantly fight. Wahab, daughter of Abdullah, took a rod and came to him, saying, "May both my parents be sacrificed for you. Do defend the good ones. Qatil dun al-tayyibin." The offspring of Muhammad. He wanted to take her back to the tent, but she kept persisting, holding to his clothes and saying, "I shall not leave you till I die with you." Imam Hussein called out to her, saying, "May you be well rewarded on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on behalf of the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt. Go back to the tent. Women are not required to fight." When Imam Hussein saw that a large number of his companions had died, he took hold of his sacred beard and said, "Allah's wrath intensified against the Jews for having attributed a son to him, and his wrath intensified against the Christians who made him one of three, and his wrath also intensified against the Zoroastrians who worshipped the sun and the moon instead of worshipping him, and his wrath intensified against people who collectively agreed to kill the son of their prophet's daughter. by Allah, I shall never agree with them about anything they want me to do till I meet Allah drenched in my blood. Then he called down, is there anyone who would defend the ladies of the Messenger of Allah? Ala hal min dhabin yadubu an harami Rasulillah. Hearing him, the women cried and wailed to Ansari, Sa'd ibn al-Harith and his brother Abdul Hutuf. Heard Imam Hussein pleading for help, and they also heard the cries of his children. They were both with the army of Ubaidillah ibn Sa'd. They suddenly turned against Imam Hussein's enemy around them and kept killing them till they themselves were killed. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj attacked from the Euphrates side. Fighting for a while, this engagement involved Muslim ibn Awsajah, Muslim ibn Abdullah, al-Dababi and Abdullah ibn Khashakharah al-Bijli attacked him, causing a huge cloud of dust, which once dissipated, showed Muslim lying on the ground, drawing his last breath. Escorted by Habib ibn Mudahir, Imam Hussein walked towards him and said, may Allah be merciful unto you, O Muslim. Among them are those who died. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Habib came closer to him and said, your being killed is truly devastating me, O Muslim. Receive the glad tidings of paradise. In a very faint voice, the dying hero said, may Allah convey to you two such glad tidings. Habib said, had I not known that I will soon be following you, I would have liked you to convey your will to me with regard to anything on your mind. Muslim ibn Awsajah said, all I want you to do is to look after this man, alayka bihada al-ghareeb, pointing to Imam Hussein, adding, and to defend him till death. Habib said, I will inshallah do exactly so. It was then that Muslim breathed his last as he was lying between both men. His woman cried out, wa Muslimah, wa Sayyidah, wa Ibn Awsajatah. Ibn al-Hajjaj, feeling elated about Muslim's martyrdom, kept shouting in excitement that they killed Muslim, they killed Muslim. Shabath ibn Rab'i, he said to those around him, may your mothers lose you. Do you really feel elated when a man such as Muslim is killed? A great stand which I saw with my own eyes involving him was in Azerbaijan when he killed 6 polytheists even before the Muslim cavalry had enough time from its ranks. Abu Thumam al-Asadi looked at the sun and saw that it was already afternoon, so he said to Imam Hussein, may I be sacrificed for your sake? I can see that these folks have advanced towards you. No, by Allah, you shall not be killed before I die defending you. And I love to return to Allah after having performed the prayers whose time has approached. Imam Hussein raised his head to the heavens and said, you have remembered the prayers, dhakarta as-salah, ja'alaka Allah min al-musallin. May Allah count you among those who uphold the prayers and who remember him often. Yes, this is the beginning of its time. Na'am hadha waqtu salatiha. Ask them to leave us alone so that we may perform the prayers. Al-Husayn, who had heard the Imam say these words, commented by saying, your prayer will not be accepted. Habib ibn Mudahir heard what the rogue man had said, so he responded to him by saying, do you claim that your prayers are not, that prayers are not accepted from the Prophet's family, but yours are accepted, you drunken man? Al-Husayn charged at him, so Habib slapped the face of Al-Husayn's horse, causing it to leap and throw its rider on the ground. Al-Husayn's men had to rush to his rescue and carrying him away to safety. Habib, despite his advanced age, fought them valiantly, killing as many as 62 men. Badil ibn Sarim attacked him and dealt a sword blow to him as a man, from Tamim hit him with his lance. Habib now fell on the ground as he attempted to stand up again. Al-Husayn hit him with his sword on the head, causing him to fall again face long. The man from Tamim alighted and severed Habib's head. Habib, being thus killed, shook Imam Hussein, who said, "It is only Allah that I complain about what has happened to me and to my companions." For a good while, the Imam kept repeating the statement, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We belong to Allah, and to Him is our return. After him, Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi came out, accompanied by Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn, who was protecting him from the rear. Whenever one of them attacked and the situation became critical, the other would attack to rescue him, and they kept doing so for a while. The horse on which Al-Hur was riding received hits on its ears and eyebrows, and it was bleeding, as its rider was quoting the following verse by Anthar ibn Shaddad al-Abasi, "I kept shooting them at its very mouth and its chest till blood drenched it all." Al-Husayn said to Yazid ibn Sufyan, "Is this Al-Hur whom you wish to kill?" "Yes," said Yazid. So the first came out and challenged Al-Hur to a duel. It turned out that Al-Husayn was asking for a swift death, for it did not take Al-Hur long to kill him. Ayyub ibn Mashrah shot Al-Hur's horse with an arrow. Hamstringing it, the poor horse leaped, so the rider leaped from it like a lion. Holding his sword in his hand, he kept fighting on foot till he killed more than 40 men. A company from the footmen fiercely attacked him and killed him. Al-Husayn's companions carried his body and put it before the tent in front of which they were fighting. They were doing so whenever a man was killed. And Imam Hussein each time kept repeating the statement, "He has been killed as prophets, and the offspring of prophets are killed." قُتِلَ كَمَا تُقْتَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَأَوْلَادُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ. Then Imam Hussein turned to Al-Hur, who was breathing his last, and said to him as he wiped out the blood from his face, "أَنْتَ حُرٌّ كَمَا سَمَّتْكَ أُمُّكَ." You are Al-Hur, which means the free man, just as your mother named you, and you are free in this life and in the hereafter. One of the companions of Imam Hussein, who some say was Ali ibn Hussein, eulogized him and said, "How good Al-Hur of Banu Riyah, how patient when he lances intertwined." Imam Hussein then stood to perform his prayers. It is said that he led the prayer service before the survivors from among his companions. It was a special prayer called Salatul Khawf, the prayer said by one fearing for his life. When Sa'id, who was defending the Imam, it was a special prayer called Salatul Khawf. In front of him stood Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn and Sa'id ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi and half of the surviving companions. Other historians say that he and his companions offered their prayers individually. When Sa'id was standing before the Imam protecting him from the arrows, but when his wounds became overwhelming, he fell on the ground as he was supplicating, saying, "O Allah, curse them as you curse the people of Ad and Thamud. Allahumma al'anhum kal'anati Ad wa Thamud." And convey my salam to your prophet and tell him about the pain of the wounds which I have received. For I desired your rewards when I supported the offspring of your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He then turned to Imam Hussein and asked him, "Have I carried out my obligation, O son of the Messenger of Allah? أَوَفَيْتُ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ." Imam Hussein said, "Yes, and you shall reach paradise before I do." أَنْتَ أَمَامِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Then the man, the companion, died. As many as 13 arrows were found planted in his body, in addition to the blows which he had sustained from the swords and the lances. Having finished his prayers, Imam Hussein addressed the companions and said, "O honorable men, here is paradise with its gates wide open for you, with its rivers joining one another, with its fruits ripened, and here is the messenger of Allah and the martyrs who were killed in the cause of Allah. They are all waiting for you to join them. They are congratulating one another on your account. So do defend the religion of Allah, fahamu an deenillah, and of his prophet, and do protect the women of the messenger of Allah. They all said to him, may our lives be sacrificed for you and your, and may our blood protect yours. By Allah, so long as blood flows in our veins, no harm shall reach you or your ladies. Umar ibn Sa'd dispatched Amr ibn Sa'id in charge of a company of archers to shoot arrows at al-Husayn's companions and to hamstring their horses. Not a single horseman remained with Imam Husayn except al-Dhahhak ibn Abdullah, who recounted this report. He said, having seen how the horses of our fellows were being hamstrung, I came with my horse and entered a tent belonging to our fellows. They fought most fiercely. Whoever wanted to come out to fight would bid al-Husayn farewell and say, As-salamu alayka yabna Rasulillah. Imam Husayn would then respond to him by saying, and upon you too be peace, and we shall soon join your company. Then he would quote the Quranic verse saying, some of them is he who accomplished his vow, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Salman ibn Mudarib al-Bijli, a cousin of Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn, came out and fought till he was killed. He was followed by Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn himself, one of the greatest companions of Imam Husayn, who put his hand on Imam Husayn's shoulder and sought permission to fight by saying, advance, may you guide, O guided one, for today I shall your grandfather the Prophet meet, and I shall meet Al-Hasan and Ali, the pleased one, and the one with the two wings, the valiant youth, greet the Lion of Allah, the living martyr. Zuhair am I, and the son of Al-Qayn, with the sword do I defend Husayn. Imam Husayn responded by saying, and I too shall follow. As he fought, Zuhair kept reciting the verse, Zuhair am I, and the son of Al-Qayn, with my sword do I defend Husayn. He killed 120 men, Kathir ibn Abdullah al-Sabi and Muhajir ibn Aws jointly attacked and killed Zuhair ibn al-Qayn. It was then that Imam Husayn stood up and said, may Allah never keep you distant from us, O Zuhair. La ab'adaka Allahu minna ya Zuhair. And may He condemn those who killed you as He has condemned those whom He turned into apes and pigs. His pure soul departed from his body. Imam Husayn walked to Aslam, his slave, and hugged him. He was breathing his last and was able to smile. He felt proud and died with a smile lighting his face. Yazid ibn Ma'qil called out, O Burayr, how do you see what Allah has done to you? Burayr answered, Allah has done very well to me while afflicting you with evil. Yazid said, you have lied, and before today you were never known to lie. Do you remember the day when I was walking with you in the quarters of Banu Lathwan, Lawthan, when you said that Muawiyah had strayed and that the Imam of Guidance is Ali ibn Abi Talib? Burayr answered, yes, I testify that such is my view. Yazid said, and I bear witness that you are among the misguided. Burayr then challenged him to a mubahala. They both raised their hands and supplicated to Allah, glory to Him, invoking Him to curse the liar and to kill him. Then they fought one another. Burayr hit the man on his head with his sword, splitting it into two halves. Yazid fell as Burayr's sword was still planted in his head as he was trying to take it out. Radi ibn Munqidh al-Abdi attacked Burayr and engaged him in a fight for some time. Burayr subdued this one too, sitting on his chest. The man screamed for help, whereupon Afif ibn Zuhayr ibn Abdul Akhnas shouted at him saying, this is Burayr ibn Khudayr, the Qari who used to teach us the Qur'an at Kufa's mosque. But he did not pay him any attention and stabbed Burayr in the back. Burayr fell on Radi and bit him on the face, cutting the tip of his nose. Ka'b used his lance to remove him and from the man's chest, then hit him with his sword, killing Burayr. The Al-Abdi man stood up to remove the dust from his clothes, saying, "O brother of Azd, you have done me a favor which I shall never forget." When Ka'b ibn Jubayr returned to his family, his wife Al-Nawar rebuked him, saying, "You have sided with the enemies of Fatima's son and killed the master of Kufa's Qaris. You have done something monstrous." Abbas, who was also one of the Imam's loyal companions, stood before Abu Abdullah and said, "None on the face of earth received the knight before he a nearer or a distant kin who is dearer to me than you. I've been able to ward off injustice from you with anything more precious than my life, I would have done so. Peace be upon you, and I testify that I am on your and your father's guidance." He walked towards the enemy with his sword raised, despite a wound which he had already received on his forehead. All men who saw him shouted, "Oh men, stay away from him." They knew very well that he was the most courageous. Observing the situation, Umar ibn Sa'd shouted, "Kill him with your stones." He became the target of a shower of stones. Having seen that, he put down his shield and charged, causing as many as 200 men to flee away from him. Soon they surrounded him from all directions and killed him. A number of them disputed with one another about who among them would take his head covering as a covering as a booty. Ibn Sa'd said, "This man was not killed by one single person. He distributed the slain hero's head gearing among them." John, a slave of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, stood before Imam Hussein, requesting him to grant him permission to fight. The Imam said, "Oh John, you have followed us seeking your good health, so you are excused. You may leave now. You do not need to be killed with us." But the old man fell on the Imam's feet, kissing them and saying, "I, in the name of prosperity, lick what is served on your tables. So should I in the time of hardship betray you. My smell is surely bad. My lineage is lowly. My color is black. So do bestow upon me a breeze from paradise so that I may smell with, my smell will be good. My lineage will be honored and my color will be whitened. No, by Allah, I shall never abandon you till this black blood mixes with yours." Imam Hussein therefore granted him permission. He killed as many as 45 men before he himself was finally killed. Imam Hussein stood by his corpse and supplicated, saying, "O Lord, whiten his face, make his smell good, join him with Muhammad and link him to the progeny of Muhammad." Whoever thereafter passed by the battleground was able to smell his corpse, emitting a fragrance sweeter than that of musk. Anas ibn Harith and Nabi Huzan was an old man and a renowned Sahabi of the Prophet, who had met and listened to the hadith of the Prophet and fought in his company the battles of Badr and Hunayn. He too sought Al-Husayn's permission to go and fight Imam Hussein. He came out tying his waist with a turban, his forehead bandaged. Having seen him looking like that, Imam Hussein cried and said, "May Allah thank you, O Shaykh, for what you are doing for us." Shakar Allahu sa'yaka ya Shaykh. Despite his old age, he killed 18 men before being finally killed. Amr ibn Junadah al-Ansari came out after his father had been killed. He was only 11 years old. He sought Imam Hussein's permission to fight, but Imam Hussein refused, saying, "This is a young boy whose father was killed in the first campaign, and perhaps his mother hates to see him go too." But the boy said, "It was my mother who ordered me to do so." It was then that Imam Hussein, his mother came to Imam al-Hussein dragging him, saying, "Ya Aba Abdullah, atuzkalu ummuka al-Zahra biwaladiha, wala uzkalu biwaladi." Your mother, Fatima al-Zahra, grieves over her son, and I do not grieve over mine, Ya Aba Abdullah. I must grieve over his death too, Ya Aba Abdullah. It was then that the Imam permitted him to fight. It was not long before he was killed, and his head was thrown in the direction of Hussein's camp. It was taken by his mother, who wiped the blood from it and used it. She threw it towards the enemy, saying that something that I have given in the way of Allah, I shall never take back. She threw it towards the enemy and used it as a weapon to hit a man nearby, killing him instantly. She went back to the camp and took a rod, or according to other accounts, a sword, and recited the verses. An old woman and a weakling am I, crumbling, skinny and old, yet I with force strike you and try to defend Fatima's son, the honorable and bold. Imam Hussein took her back to the tent after she had killed two men using a tent pole. No one remained with Imam Hussein. All the companions were killed. No one remained except for his household, for his Ahlul Bayt. They were determined to face death with their might and to maintain their dignity. They came bidding each other farewell. They bid each other farewell. The first being Abul Hasan Ali al-Akbar, who was 27 years old. He was born on the 11th of Sha'ban in the year 33 on the Hijri calendar, and he was a mirror reflecting the Prophet's own beauty and a model of his own sublime code of ethics, a specimen of his wise speech. Once he was about to start his role in defending Ahlul Bayt, it rested extremely heavily for the ladies who grew up in the lap of Imam, because he was the one upon whom they rested their hopes for their protection and security. Their only hope after Imam Hussein is gone was Ali al-Akbar. One of them would see the message about to be muted with his death, while another would see the son of prophethood nearing an eclipse, while yet another would see Muhammad's code of ethics coming to an end. They all surrounded him and pleaded to him, "Have mercy on our being strangers in this land. We cannot bear your separation." But he did not pay them any attention, because he could easily see how his enemies were to the end determined to spill his pure blood. He sought his father's permission. His father didn't say anything. He bowed his head, and he understood that this was his father's way of saying, "You may leave for the battlefield, O my beloved son." Then he came out riding on a horse belonging to Imam Hussein, from the camp of Layla, mother of Ali al-Akbar, and the daughter of Maynuma, daughter of Abu Sufyan. A man shouted, "O Ali, you have the kinship with the commander of the faithful Yazid, and we wish to safeguard it, so if you wish, we can grant you security." He said, "The kinship I have with the messenger of Allah, peace of Allah and his blessings be upon him and his progeny, is now more worthy of being safeguarded." Then he recited the Rajaz verses identifying his holy self and his sublime objective. "Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali, nahnu wa rabbillah awla bin nabi. Allah la yahkum fina ibn ad-da'i adribu bis-sayf wa hami an abi." I am Ali, the son of Hussein, son of Ali. We by the house's Lord are more worthy of the Nabi. By Allah, we shall never be ruled by the da'i. With the sword shall I defend my family and strike like a young Hashimi Qarashi. Imam Hussein could not help flooding his eyes with tears and shouted, "Oh, Umar ibn Sa'd." He shouted at Umar ibn Sa'd, saying, "What is the matter with you? May Allah cut off your lineage just as you have cut off mine, and just as you have not respected my kinship to the messenger of Allah. Ya Umar ibn Sa'd, qata Allahu rahimak kama
قطعت رحمي. May Allah send upon you someone who to slay you on your own bed. Then he uncovered his hair and raised his hands to the heavens, supplicating, Allahumma ajhad ala ha'ula'i al-qawm. Faqad baraza ilayhim ghulamun ashbahu an-nas khalqan wa khuluqan wa mantiqan bi rasulillah. O Allah, bear witness against these folks that a man who looks most like your messenger Muhammad in his physique, manners and eloquence has come out to fight them. Whenever we miss seeing your prophet, we would look at him. O Allah, deprive them of the blessings of the earth, create dissension among them, and make them into many parties, and do not let the rulers ever be pleased with them, for they have invited us to support us, then they transgressed on us and fought us. Then he recited the Quranic verse, Allah surely chose Adam, Nuh, and the family of Ibrahim, and the family of Imran over all people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ. Offspring of one another, and Allah is hearing, knowing. He kept charging at their right and left wing, dividing in their midst. Whenever a group of fighters met him, he would repulse them, all of them. And whenever a brave man faced him, he would kill him. He killed a total of 120 knights. Thirst took its toll on him, so he returned to his father to rest and to complain about suffering from thirst. Imam Hussein wept and said, Oh help! How quickly shall you meet your grandfather? Ma asra'a an tara an talqa jaddaka rasulallah. Who will give you a drink after which you shall never suffer of thirst. He gave him his tongue to suck, then his ring to put in his mouth. Ali went back to the battlefield feeling very happy about the good news which he had just heard from the Imam, the Hujjah, his father, who had told him that he would soon meet his grandfather, the chosen one. He therefore advanced towards them with courage, reminiscent of his grandfather, Imam Ali. He met the enemies face to face. The latter could not tell whether it was Ali ibn al-Akbar who was chasing the enemy, or whether it was the Wasi, Imam Ali, roaring like a lion on the battlefield, or whether thunderbolts came emitting in an array from his sword. He kept killing the Kufans. Still the number of those whom he killed reached fully 200. Murrah ibn Munqidh al-Abdi said, I shall bear all the sins of the Arabs should I not succeed in causing his father to lose him for good. He stabbed him with his lance in the back and hit him with his sword on the head, splitting it in half. Ali embraces his horse that carried him to the enemy camp. There he became the target of their swords, so they cut his body into bits and pieces. فَقَطَّعُوهُ بِسْيُوفِهِ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. He called out saying, عَلَيْكَ مِنِّي السَّلَامِ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ هَذَا جَدِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ سَقَانِي بِكَأْسِهِ الْأَوْفَى. Peace be upon you from me, O father of Abdullah. May my grandfather has given me a drink with his own cup, after which I shall never suffer any thirst. And he says that there is another one reserved just for you. Imam Hussein came to him, placed his cheek on his and said, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَىٰ مَا أَجْرَأَهُمْ عَلَى الرَّحْمَانِ وَعَلَى امْتِهَاكِ حُرْمَةِ الرَّسُولِ. There is no good in life after you, O Ali. How dare they defy the most merciful one? And how dare they violate the sanctity of his messenger? Hard it is upon your father, and hard it is upon your grandfather and father, that they cannot respond to you when you call them, and that they cannot help you when you ask for their help. He ordered his servants to carry him to the tent. His corpse was brought to the tent in front of which they were fighting. The honorable ladies who grew up in the home of revelation kept looking at him as he was carried away with blood, covering him with its red mantle of dignity. Stabs and wounds had spared no place in his body. They welcomed him. They welcomed him with very heavy hearts, their hair uncovered, their wailing defeating the world. Before them stood the wise lady of Benu Hashem, namely Zainab, the great one, daughter of Fatima, daughter of the Messenger of Allah. Crying and wailing, she threw herself on the corpse of her nephew, hugging it, grief-stricken, for he was the guardian of her home and its pillar. Degami, 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 al-Ali al-Akbar, ya Layla. Where are you, O Layla? Where are you, O mother of Ali al-Akbar? Here he is. He's lying as a dead corpse. Degami, al-Ali al-Akbar, ya Layla, ya awali, awali, matruh, zal mahad yashil. When Abdullah ibn Muslim, the son of Aqil, was also killed, he was also a young boy who was killed defending the Imam. When he was killed, the family of Abu Talib undertook a collective campaign. Imam Hussein called out to them saying, "Be patient, O cousins. By Allah, after today you shall not meet any hardship at all." The assailants were comprised of Awn ibn Abdullah, son of Ja'far, At-Tayyar, and the wise lady of Zainab, his brother Muhammad, son of Abdullah ibn Ja'far, and the wise lady Zainab, his brother Muhammad, son of Al-Khawsah, Abdul Rahman ibn Aqil ibn Abu Talib, his brother Ja'far, son of Aqil, and Muhammad, son of Muslim ibn Aqil. As many as 18 wounds were received by Al-Hasan al-Mutanna, son of Imam Hassan, older grandson of the Prophet, and his right hand was cut off. He was not martyred yet. Abu Bakr, son of the commander of the faithful Amir al-Mu'mineen, whose first name was Muhammad, came out and was killed by Zahr ibn Badr al-Nakha'i. Abdullah ibn Aqil now came out and kept fighting till his wounds overwhelmed him, so he fell. Uthman ibn Khalid al-Tamimi took advantage of the situation, walked to him and killed him. Abu Bakr, son of Imam al-Hasan, son of the commander of the faithful, came out. His first name was Abdullah al-Akbar, and his mother was Umm Walad, named Ramlah. He fought till he was killed. After the latter, his full-blooded brother Al-Qasim came out. He was a young boy who had not yet come of age. When Al-Hussein looked at him, he hugged him and wept. Then he permitted him to fight. So he came out with a face looking like a full moon, bearing a sword and wearing a shirt and a mantle. On his feet he wore sandals. He had to fight on foot. The sandal string on his left foot was cut off. So he, the son of the great Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, hated to walk barefooted on the battlefield. He therefore stopped for a moment to tie his sandal, regarding these enemies as no more valuable than his own sandal, paying no heed to their multitude, feeling unconcerned about their thousands. After he was thus engaged, Amr ibn Sa'd ibn Nufayl al-Azdi attacked him. Hamid ibn Muslim asked him, "What do you want to do with this lad? Are you not satisfied to see all the crowd that surround him?" He said, "By Allah, I shall attack him." He hit Al-Qasim with his sword. The young boy fell face long, crying out, "Ya Amma, Ya Aba Abdullah." Imam Hussein came out to his help like an angry lion and struck Amr with his sword. Amr tried to avoid it with his arm, so the Imam cut it off from the elbow, causing him to let out a very loud scream, which was heard by the entire enemy. The cavalry of Ibn Sa'd charged in order to rescue him. Amr met them face to face, causing their horses to trample upon him and to eventually kill him. After some time, the cloud of dust dissipated, so Imam Hussein was now seen standing at the head of the young boy, examining his feet. Imam Hussein said, "Away with the people who have killed you, بُعْدًا لِقَوْمٍ قَتَلُوكَ, who killed you while they're called upon your uncle to help you, and he cannot answer your call. While their opponent on the day of judgment will be your grandfather." Then Imam Hussein said, "Hard it is by Allah that you call upon your uncle to help, and he cannot answer your call, or that he does answer it, but cannot do much for you. It is a lone voice whose enemies are numerous and whose supporters are few." Then he carried him away. Al-Qasim was on Imam Hussein's chest. His legs were dragging on the ground. Imam Hussein put the corpse beside that of Ali ibn al-Akbar and of those of his family who had been killed. And he raised his eyes to the heavens and supplicated, saying, "O Allah, count their numbers. Allahumma ihsihim adada. And do not leave any of them alone." When Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas saw how such a large number of his family members were being killed, he said to his brothers Abdullah, Uthman and Ja'far, "Advance, O brothers, so that I may see you supporting the cause of Allah and His Messenger." Then he turned to Abdullah, their oldest, and said, "Advance, O brother, so that I may see you receiving the honor of martyrdom." They fought in front of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas till they were all killed. Al-Abbas could no longer bear life after having seen how his companions and the members of his family were killed, and how the Hujjah of his time, his brother Imam Hussein, was suffering from the great number of enemies surrounding him after his supply route had been cut off, and after hearing the women wailing and the children crying out, "Al-Atash, Al-Atash, oh the thirst, oh the thirst." He therefore sought permission from his brother, since Al-Abbas was the most precious asset to the grandson of the Prophet, who was soon to be martyred, especially since the foes always dreaded having to fight him and feared his advance. And how the ladies felt a sense of security upon seeing the standard raised high. The sacred soul of the father of the oppressed did not accept to part with him. Imam Hussein said to him, "O brother, anta khamilu liwa'i, you are the bearer of my standard." Al-Abbas said, "I am fed up with these hypocrites. I want to seek revenge against them." Al-Hussein ordered him to bring water for the children. So Al-Abbas went to those people and admonished them, warning them of the wrath of the Omnipotent, but all of that fell on deaf ears. He then shouted, "O Umar ibn Sa'd, here is Imam Hussein, son of Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah. You have killed his companions and family, and here are his children suffering from thirst. Give them some water, for the thirst has burnt their hearts." As he kept repeating his pleas, he also kept saying to them, "Let me go to Rome or to India, and I shall leave Hijaz and Iraq for you." There were some people among the enemy ranks who were genuinely moved by those pleas, so they wept. But Al-Shimr shouted as loudly as he could, "O son of Abu Turab, had the face of earth been entirely covered with water, and had it been in our hands, we would still have not given you a drop of it to drink, unless you swear the oath of allegiance to Yazid." Al-Abbas went back to his brother to tell him of the outcome of his negotiations with those ruffians. Al-Abbas heard the children crying of thirst, "Al-Atash, Al-Atash," so he could not tolerate the situation. "أَوَتَشْتَكِ الْعَطَشَ الْفَوَاطِمُ عَنْدَهُ وَبِصَدْرِ صَعْدَتِهِ الْفُرَاتُ أَعْظَمُ." So he could not tolerate the situation any longer. He was fired up with his Hashemite zeal. Then he rode his horse and took the water bag. As many as 4,000 archers soon surrounded him and shot him with their arrows. Yet their large number did not impede his attempt. He kept chasing those throngs along as his standard kept fluttering above. Those people could not tell whether that was Al-Abbas who was thus slaughtering their horses or the wasi roaring on the battlefield. Their men could not maintain their ground. All that could be seen was heads flying and hands falling, and they could not maintain their ground before him, and he succeeded in getting into the Euphrates River, heedless of the huge crowd around him. It mourns, but its mourning is only by sighing. The moment he took one handful of water to drink, he remembered how thirsty Imam Hussein and those with him were, so he spilled it. Then he said, Ya nafs min ba'd al-Husayn huni, wa ba'dahu la kunti antakuni, hadha Husayn warid al-manuni, wa tashrabin barid al-ma'ini, wallah, ma hadha fi'al dini, O soul, after al-Husayn, nobody does count. After him, you should do nothing amount. Here is Al-Husayn nearing his end while you drink of cool water. By Allah, such is not a deed at all enjoyed by my creed. Then he filled the water bag, rode his horse, and went in the direction of the camp. His path was blocked, so he kept killing those who blocked it till he was able to make his way through them. Zayd ibn al-Ruqad al-Jahni ambushed him from behind a palm tree, assisted by Hakim ibn al-Tufail, dealing a sword blow to his right arm, completely severing it. He said, Wallahi in qata'tumu yameeni, inni uhami abadan an deeni, wa an imam sadiq al-yaqeeni, najl al-Nabi al-Tahir al-Ameeni. By Allah, if you cut off my right hand, I shall not cease defending my creed, and an imam true to his conviction do I defend, a son of the trustworthy prophet whom Allah did send. He did not pay attention to the fact that his right hand had been cut off, because he was only concerned about getting the water to the children and the family of Imam Hussein. But Hakim ibn Tufail was still hiding behind another palm tree. When he passed by, Hakim struck him with his sword on his left hand, amputating it also. And soon a large number of men were surrounding him. Arrows fell on him like rain, piercing the water bag and boring a hole in it through which its water was completely spilled. An arrow pierced his chest. A man hit him with a pole on his head, severely injuring him. He fell on the ground, shouting, Peace be upon you, alayka minni salam, ya Aba Abdullah. The fact that his hands were severed was not the tragedy. The fact that an arrow shot him in the chest was not the tragedy. The tragedy was this, my friends. The tradition states that his body was full of arrows. An arrow had been pierced into his eyes. I ask you this question. If you have no hands to defend yourself, when you fall from the back of the horse, where do the arrows go? Alayka minni salam, ya Aba Abdullah. Peace be unto you from me, O father of Abdullah. Al-Husayn rushed to him. How I wish to know in what condition he went to him. Was a soul imperiled by this great loss, or by the brotherhood that pulls a brother to his beloved brother? Yes, Imam Hussein reached him and witnessed how sacrifice is being offered to the Holy One on a plain covered with blood and crowned with arrows. Al-Abbas had no might nor speech nor anything whereby he could keep his foes away. He could not even see anything. His head was on the ground bleeding. It is accurate to say that Imam Hussein saw all of these calamities and still had any strength whereby he could stand on his feet. Is this possible? Only Imam Hussein remained after the martyrdom of Abu al-Fadl. He remained a figure staring in the sky, stripped of all the necessities of life. One tradition states that Imam Hussein wanted to put his brother's head in his lap. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas would remove his head and put it back on the sand. Imam Hussein tried to put it on his lap again. He would remove his head and put it on the sand. Imam Hussein asked him, Why are you doing this, O brother? Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas said, Right now you are alive and you take my head in your lap, but in a few hours' time you will be killed and there will be no one to put your head in his lap.
يا خويا من يغمض لك عيونك.
Oh brother, who will be there to close your eyes?
يا خويا من يغمض لك عيونك ومن يقف بوقت الموت دونك.
Who will defend you? Who will answer your call? يا أبا عبد الله.
على فراقي يا خويا انخطف لونك وتظل بعدي يا أبو.
I have one more wish, oh brother. I ask you to say something. Convey my salam to our sister Zainab, ya Aba Abdullah.
Ya khoya Hussein, salim li'ala khitna. Uqillil halminiya farigatna.
Tell her, oh sister, I am sorry. I brought you to Karbala, but I am sorry, for I am now dead. I cannot take you back to the city of Medina.
Ya khoya, one more thing. Ya khoya, وبعد لا تنتظر سكنة.
And tell Sukaina not to wait for me any longer. I was unable to fulfill my promise to her.
Ya khoya, وبعد لا تنتظر سكنة. بعد هيها تجيب الهمية.
Imam Hussein went back to the camp feeling extremely depressed, tearful. He kept wiping his tears with his cuffs as men raced with one another to assault his camp. He called out, "Is there anyone who helps us? Ala hal min nasirin yansuruna liwajhi Allah? Is there anyone who grants us security? Is there anyone who seeks justice so he supports us? Is there anyone who fears the fire so he defends us?" Sukaina, his daughter, came to him and asked him about her uncle Abbas. He told her of his being killed. Zainab heard him revealing this sad news, so she cried out, "Wa akha, wa Abbasaha, oh brother, oh Abbas, oh our loss after you." Women wept, and Imam Hussein wept too, and he said, "Oh our loss after you, wa dhi'atana ba'daka ya Abu al-Fadl, wa dhi'atana ba'dak. We have no one to defend us any longer, oh Abbas." When Abbas was killed, Imam Hussein turned to see none to help him against his foes. He looked and saw how his family members and companions lied slaughtered on the ground. He heard the wailing of the orphans and the cries of the children. As loud as he could, he called out, "Ala hal min nasirin yansuruna liwajhi Allah?" Is there anyone who believes in the unity of Allah, who fears Allah in our regard? As-Sajjad, Imam Zainul Abidin, stood up. When he heard his father calling out, "Is there any more? Is there anyone else who would help us?" Imam Zain al-Abidin stood up. He was leaning on a cane and dragging a sword. He was sick and could hardly move. But Imam Hussein called on his daughter, Kulthum, saying, "Confine him so that the world may not run out of the progeny of Muhammad." So she took him back to his bed. Imam Hussein now ordered his dependents to be silent and he bade them farewell. He was wearing a dull silk jubba, long robe, and a florid turban with two tresses let loose on the sides, and wrapped himself with the same burda, or the ground which the Messenger of Allah used to wear, and was carrying his prophet's sword. He asked for a garment which nobody wanted, and which he put underneath his clothes so that nobody would be interested in it, and hence in removing it from his body, since he knew that he was going to be killed soon. They brought him small trousers, but he was not interested, saying they were the outfits of ignominy. So he took a worn out garment, which was ripped. He placed its pieces underneath his clothes. Then he asked for wrapping trousers, which he also tore, then put on so that nobody would take them away from his corpse. He then ordered his infant son Abdullah to be brought to him so that he would say goodbye to him. Zainab brought his baby son Abdullah, as well as the latter's mother Ar-Rubab. He placed him in his lap and kept kissing him and repeating the statement, "Away with these people. When your grandfather, the chosen one, is their opponent,
Then he brought him to those folks and asked for some water for him. Harmala ibn Kahin al-Asadi shot the infant with an arrow that slaughtered him from the jugular vein to the jugular vein. Imam Hussein received his blood in his hand. Then he threw it up towards the heavens. Imam Muhammad ibn al-Baqir says, not a drop of it fell in this regard, the Hujjah of the progeny of Muhammad. May Allah hasten as we appear, and says, Imam al-Hujjah says, peace be unto you, Abdullah, the slaughtered infant, the one shot with an arrow, the one whose blood was shed in a most cruel manner, and whose blood ascended to the heavens, the one slaughtered with an arrow in his father's lap. The curse of Allah be upon the person who shot him, Harmala ibn Kahil al-Asadi, and upon his kinsfolk. Imam Hussein said, what decreases my affliction? What decreases my affliction is the fact that it's witnessed by Allah Almighty. O Allah, it is not less in your esteem than the life of a son. Lord, if you have kept victory away from us, then let it be so for something even better, and seek revenge on our behalf from the oppressors, and let what has happened to us in this life be a treasure for us in the hereafter. O Allah, you are the witness against the people who killed the one who looked most like your messenger, Muhammad. He then heard a voice saying, leave him, O Hussein, for there is a nurse for him in paradise. He then alighted from his horse with his sword dug. He used his sword to dig a grave for him and buried him. His blood was mixed with the sand. Then he offered the funeral prayers. Some accounts say that he placed him together with those of his family who had already been killed. Imam Hussein advanced towards the enemy, raising his sword, losing all hope of survival. Challenging them to a duel, he killed all those who accepted his challenge, and their number was quite high. He then charged on the enemy's east flank as he recited these verses. Death is better than accepting ignominy, while ignominy is better than the fire. And on the left flank as he recited, and al-Husayn ibn Ali, I am al-Husayn son of Ali. I decided never to bow nor bend, protecting my father's family, remaining on the Prophet's creed. Abdullah ibn Ammar said, never have I seen someone surrounded by a huge number of enemies and whose son is slaughtered, and so are his family and companions, and who still maintained his composure, remained relentless and stayed courageous more than Hussein. Men kept fleeing in front of him whenever he charged at him, and none kept his ground. Umar ibn Sa'd shouted to everyone, saying, this is the son of the quarrelsome one, the one with the stomach. This is the son of the killer of the Arabs. Attack him from all directions. 4,000 arrows were at once shot at him, and he was forced to alight from his horse. Imam Hussein shouted at them, O followers of Abu Sufyan, Ya Shi'ata Ali Abi Sufyan, إن لم يكن لكم دين وكنتم لا تخافون المعاد. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينٌ وَلَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادَ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. Oh, followers of Abu Sufyan, if you have no religion at all, and yet you fear the returning of your, and yet you fear the returning to your Maker, then at least you should remain free in your life, and you should go back to your lineage if you are Arabs as you claim. Al-Shimr addressed him, saying, what are you, son of Fatima, saying? He said, I am the one who is fighting you, and women are not held accountable, so keep your robes away from them and stop them from harming my women as long as I am alive. Said he, face me, not my women. My time has come, destiny is done. Al-Shimr said, we shall grant you that. He became the target of the fighters, and the fighting intensified. His thirst intensified too. From the direction of the Euphrates, he attacked Amr ibn al-Hajjaj, who was surrounded by 4,000 men. And clearing them from the water and forcing his horse into the river. When his horse was about to drink, Imam Hussein said to it, you are thirsty and so am I, yet I shall not drink before you do. The horse raised his head as if he understood what the Imam had said to him. When Imam Hussein stretched his hand to drink, a man asked him, do you enjoy water while the sanctity of your women has been violated? He therefore spilled the water and did not drink. Then he went in the direction of the tent to protect the women and the children. Then he bade his family farewell for the second time, ordering them to be patient. He put on the outer mantles as he said, get ready for affliction, get ready for tribulation, and be advised that Allah Almighty shall protect and safeguard you. فَعَلَتْ أَصْوَاتُهُنَّ بِالْبُكَاءِ وَصِحْنَ الْوِدَاعَ الْوِدَاعَ الْفِرَاقَ الْفِرَاقَ. Allah Almighty shall protect and safeguard you, and He shall save you from the evil of the enemies and make the ultimate end of your affair good. Indeed, anyone may say that that was the most critical situation of the Master of Martyrs had to face that day. The ladies who were raised in the lap of prophethood saw them, the pillar of their security, the bulwark of their protection, the defender of their prestige, and the symbol of their honor, telling them of a departure from which he would never return. So they did not know who would after him protect them from the oppression of the foes, or who would be their solace once he is gone. No wonder then that they all assembled and surrounded him, holding to his clothes as the children were moaning, being stunned by the situation, and little girls kept begging for the security against their fear, while others kept begging for water. How then would have the condition of the master of those endowed with a conscience and the example of affection, as he saw, though his vast knowledge, the trustees of the message, and the ladies who descended from the infallible ones, who had never known before anything about honor and prestige, now running in this empty desert, wailing, crying in a way that splits the most solid of stones, citing most depressingly, they were in a constant danger of being plundered and beaten, having none to protect them besides the Imam, whom fatigue had exhausted. Had Job suffered as he did for one day, he would surely have stood to say, this one is he whose calamity is greater. What has happened to me? As for the wise lady of Beni Hashim, namely Zainab al-Kubra, she saw all of that. We see how the secure niche of the religion was about to be dislocated, the rope of prophethood to be cut off, the lantern of the Sharia to be put out, and the tree of Imamah to wither. It was then that Umar ibn Sa'd, Imam Hussein, turned to his daughter Sukaina, who was described by Al-Hasan al-Muthanna as one who was always overcome by a deep meditation upon Allah. Finding her staying aloof from the other women, she was not along with the other women. Bidding Imam Hussein farewell, she was on another side. She was crying, wailing. He stood to ask her to be patient and to solace her. His condition could best be described. This is my farewell, my dear one, and we shall meet on the day of judgment at the pool of Kawthar. So bid your tears goodbye and come to greet and enjoy the fruits of your patience forever. And when you do see me lying on the ground, bleeding, bear it and do not be by tears bound. It was then that Umar ibn Sa'd said to his men, woe unto you, attack him, since he is distracted and surrounded by his women. As Imam Hussein was about to leave for the battlefield, he heard a cry from behind calling out, ah, mahlan mahla, yabn al-Zahra, wait for a moment, O son of Fatima, this is your sister Zainab. Imam Hussein stopped. His sister Zainab approached him. She said to him, ya Aba Abdullah, our mother Fatima instructed me to do something on this day and in this moment. She wanted me to kiss you on the forehead and on your throat. Imam al-Hussein came down. She kissed him on the forehead. She kissed him on the throat. Do you know why Fatima al-Zahra wanted Lady Zainab to kiss her brother on the throat and on the forehead? Because the forehead would be the target of the stone on that day, and the forehead would be severed with the dagger. As there was, Umar ibn Sa'd said to his men, woe unto you, attack him, since he is distracted and surrounded by his women, by Allah should he direct his full attention to you. Your right wing will not be separated from the left. They therefore assailed him with their arrows till the arrows reached his camp, and some of them pierced through the clothes of some of the women, causing them to be stunned and frightened. They screamed and entered the tent as they looked at Imam Hussein to see what he would do. Imam Hussein attacked the enemy like an angry lion. Anyone who could catch up with him, he stabbed with his sword and killed as he was receiving the arrows from all directions, bracing them with his chest and with his neck, protecting himself with his chest and his neck, which received the arrows. He went back to his quarters, profusely repeating the statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Al-Ali Al-Azim. There is no might nor power except in Allah, the Sublime, the Great. In such a condition, he asked for some water. Al-Shimr said to him, you shall not have a taste of it till you reach the fire. A man shouted at him, saying, O Hussein, do not you see how the Euphrates River, Euphrates water, is as clear as the snake's bellies? You shall not taste of it till you die of thirst. Imam Hussein said, O Allah, do cause him to die of thirst. That particular man, he kept asking for water ever since, and water was always brought to him, yet it would come out of his mouth and never goes down, and he kept doing so till he died of thirst. Abu al-Khutuf al-Ju'fi shot al-Hussein with an arrow in his forehead, which he pulled out, causing blood to run on his face. The Imam said, O Allah, you see in what condition I am with regard to your servants, these disobedient ones. O Allah, decrease their number, kill them and leave none of them on the face of earth, and do not ever forgive them. In a loud voice did al-Hussein shout, O nation of evil, it is indeed evil the way how you succeeded, Muhammad, in faring with his atra. You shall not kill anyone after me and contemplate on the consequences of killing him. Rather, you will think very lightly of it once you have killed me. By Allah, I hope that Allah will grant me the honor of martyrdom. Then he seek revenge on my behalf from whence you know not. Al-Hussein said to Imam Hussein, and how will he seek revenge on your behalf, O you son of Fatima? The Imam answered, he will cause you all to kill one another and thus get your blood spilled. Then shall he pour his torment upon you in the most painful manner. Having become too feeble to fight, he stood to rest. It was then that a man threw a stone at him, hitting his forehead and causing his blood to run down his face. He took his shirt to wipe his blood from his eyes, just as another man shot him with a three-pronged arrow, which pierced his chest and settled in his heart. He instantly said, in the name of Allah, Bismillah, wa billah, wa fi sabilillah, wa ala millati rasulillah, and on the creed of the Messenger of Allah. Raising his head to the heavens, he said, O Lord, you know that they are killing a man, besides whom there is no other son of your Prophet's daughter. As soon as he took the arrow out of his back, blood gushed forth like a drain pipe. He placed his hand on his wound, and once his hand was filled with blood, he threw it above, saying, "Make." He threw it above towards the sky, saying, "Make what has happened to me easy for me. It is being witnessed by Allah." Not a single drop of that blood fell on the ground. Then he put it back a second time, and it was again filled with blood. This time he rubbed it on his face and beard as he said, "Thus shall I appear when I meet my Lord and my grandfather, the Messenger of Allah, drenched in my blood. It is then that I shall say, O grandfather, so and so killed me." In the Al-Hajir, he fell on the ground under the swords and their every sharp edge. The stars stood motionless when he fell, and their motion stood still. In them the spirits mourned him as he said, sadly echoing, he bereaved one's heart. O conscious of Allah, ghaib, how could you be the victims of their very spears? They pierced from behind his preserved veil, and sword struck your forehead. And they, without your right hand, would have had no right. Bleeding soon sapped his strength, so he sat on the ground, feeling his head being too heavy, Malik ibn Nasir noticed his condition, so he taunted him, then dealt with him, dealt him a stroke with his sword on the head. Imam Hussein was wearing a burnous, which soon became full of blood. Imam Hussein said, "May you never be able to eat nor drink with your right hand. May Allah gather you among the oppressors." Having said so, the dying Imam threw his turban away and put on a turban on top of his cap. The enemies of Allah waited for a short while, then returned to Imam Hussein. When they surrounded him as he sat on the ground, unable to stand, Abdullah, the son of Imam al-Hassan, grandson of the Prophet, who was then 11 years old, looked and saw how his uncle was being surrounded by those men. So he came running towards him. Zainab wanted to restrain him, but he managed to evade her and to reach his uncle. Bahr ibn Ka'b lowered his hand to strike al-Hussein. So the child shouted, "O son of the corrupt woman, يَبْنَ الْخَبِيثَ, O son of the corrupt woman, are you going to strike my uncle?" The man dealt a blow from his sword, which the child received with his hand, cutting it off. The child cried in agony, "O uncle, لَقَدْ قَطَعُوا يَدِي." Then he fell on the lap of Imam Hussein, who hugged him and said, "O son of my brother, be patient with regard to what has befallen us, and consider it as goodness, for Allah the Most Exalted will make you join your righteous ancestors." Then he raised his hand and supplicating, "O Allah, let them enjoy themselves for some time, then divide them and make them into parties." Harmala ibn Kahil al-Asadi shot the child with an arrow, killing him as he sat in his uncle's lap. Imam Hussein remained lying on the ground for some time. Had those rogues wished to kill him, they could have done so, but each tribe relied on the other to do what it hated to do itself. Al-Shimr shouted, what are you standing like that for? What do you expect the man to do, since your arrows and spears have wounded him so heavily? Attack him, kill him." Zahr ibn Shariq struck him on his left shoulder with a sword. Allahu Akbar. My brothers, my sisters, now is the time for you to go to Karbala. Do not look at me anymore. There's nothing to see over here. Look at what's taking place right now on the plains of Nainawa, on that day, the day of Ashura. The time is that of mourning. I know you're tired. I know you must be tired right now, but so are the children of Imam Hussein. I know you might be thirsty, but so are the children of Imam Hussein. It is only a few hours before Imam Hussein departs us and he leaves this world. Let's go to the plains of Karbala now. From now on, I want you to see and imagine what's taking place over there. If you feel the urge to cry, don't hold yourself. There's no shame in crying for Imam Hussein. His tragedy breaks every heart. Let us now go to Karbala. Close your eyes for a moment. There is nothing to see here. Do you all see what I see? Bodies everywhere. An eclipse taking place. Women and children crying. Now look closely. Do you see the Imam? He's lying on the ground, leaning back on some earth he'd gathered with his own hands. He's exhausted. Get closer. But wait, there's a man approaching the Imam. A man who's holding a sword right now. One of them dealt a blow to the Imam's side with a spear. Another one dealt a blow with a sword on the Imam's head. Allahu Akbar. Then Umar ibn Sa'd looked at the Imam and then he said to his soldiers, Arihu, kill him. Relieve him of this pain. No one could do it. They just struck him one after the other. They kept blowing the strikes of the sword at him one after the other. No one could dare kill the Imam. They all relied on one another. Shimr came close to the Imam. My friends, have you seen when an injured man is treated with paramedics? The paramedics come. If the man is injured, they take him carefully. They put him on a stretcher. Imam Hussein received a very different treatment though. Imam al-Ridha, my friends. Allahu Akbar. Shimr came closer to the Imam. Shimr came close. Imam al-Hussein, salamullahi alayhi, was leaning on the sand that he had gathered with his own hands. Imam Hussein was now waiting only for his death. Imam Hussein was going to die from the bleeding anyway. And yet Shimr came close to him. He sat on his chest. Imam pleaded to him for water. Shimr filled his hand with sand, and then he put it onto the Imam's face. He hit the Imam onto his face. This is your Imam, O Shia of Imam Hussein. Imam al-Ridha was once delivering a sermon in Khurasan. The Imam ascended the pulpit. Then he said to the people, O people of Khurasan, my grandfather was killed. And everyone cried. Imam al-Ridha then said, my grandfather was slaughtered. Everyone lamented and cried and wept. Imam al-Ridha then said, there is a difference between being slaughtered and being killed. Do you know what the difference is? Being killed means you go to the battlefield. You become injured and you eventually die. But being slaughtered means to have your head severed while you are still alive. The tradition states, al-maqtulu sabra, as-salamu ala al-maqtulu sabra. Imam al-Hussein was slaughtered while he was still alive. Imam al-Hussein was severed into pieces while he was still alive. Allahu Akbar. Shimr says, I could see and I could hear the children screaming, don't do that. Don't sever our father's head. I could hear Zainab shouting, don't kill my brother. I could see Zainab crying and saying, leave my brother alone. Lady Zainab then climbed on top of a nearby hill. She looked down at the shocking scene, then said to Umar ibn Sa'd, وَيْلَكَ يَا Umar ibn Sa'd, how could you look at the Imam while he is suffering in such a way? How could you look at him while he is being slaughtered? Woe unto you, O Ibn Sa'd, how can the son of Rasulullah be slaughtered while you look? While you look, he looked away with tears flowing on his face. Just look at Zainab. What is she seeing right now? A man sitting on her brother's chest, cutting his head with a dagger, with a knife. May Allah help Zainab. May Allah help Zainab's soul. There's a poem that says, he ran and I ran. He ran towards the killing pit while I ran towards the killer himself. He drew and I drew. He drew the dagger from his pocket while I drew a sigh of grief from my chest. He severed and I severed. He severed and I severed. He severed my brother's. He severed my brother's head while I severed my hope. أبد والله ما ننسى حسينا وحسين 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 حسين وحسين وحسين أبد والله ما ننسى حسينا أبد والله ما ننسى حسين أبد والله أبد والله ما ننسى حسينا أبد والله ما ننسى حسينا أبد والله ما ننسى حسينا وحسين 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 وحسين